From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we turn again to the New Testament to consider in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, His ministry in Capernaum, especially as it fulfilled the great prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. Our subject this week continues to be Christ, the light in the darkness. Before that, we'll have our good gospel music, and before that, we have our hot topic for today, real-life space fighters. Most people seem to think of astronauts as real-life supermen. We have watched with bated breath as they have blasted off from Earth into outer space. We have seen them walk on the moon or outside their spacecraft. We have been spectators of their fun times, their work times, their eating and their sleeping. We have marveled at their courage, undeterred by the tragedies that have befallen some of their colleagues. I suppose we have been most impressed with what the French call their sang-froid, their unflappability when faced with life-threatening problems. So a few weeks ago it came as a surprise when an astronaut was arrested for the attempted kidnap and murder of a rival in a love triangle. Both women were having an illicit relationship with a married male astronaut, and it appears that one of them couldn't handle the idea of having competition. The tabloid press has had a field day with this story. It's as if this sort of thing shouldn't really happen to the supermen and superwomen of America's space program. But it did happen. What it shows is that human beings are the same no matter where you put them or what training you give them. Man in space is a man for all that, and so's a woman. It takes more than education or training to change human nature or control human behavior. The male astronaut in the story is a despicable specimen of a man. Sure, he's fit and intelligent, but he's also a womanizer, an unfaithful husband, and his philandering drove one woman to attempted murder and another to the gates of death. The seventh commandment prohibits all sexual immorality and impurity, and that's a message that's not too popular in our self-absorbed generation. Many people profess to know a lot about love and commitment, but in reality, the love is self-love, and the commitment is usually to personal gratification. This is true everywhere on Earth, and even in space. What's needed is the powerful, life-changing grace of God. Having spoken of sins such as adultery, fornication, and sodomy, Paul wrote, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. In other words, there's power in Christ's blood to save and to make the deepest dyed sinner a new creature in Him. Nothing else in the world can do that. During this month of April, we have been making a very special offer to you here in Let the Bible Speak. We want you to know that we do appreciate you listening in and making this program part of your day. We appreciate those who pray for us, and we want to let you know in a very practical way. Some time ago, I produced a book on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord has greatly used it, and we have heard from many of God's people of the blessing that has been in their lives. So we're making this special offer through the month of April, and since 1 week starts with the last day of April, we're going to be generous, and while our stocks last, we're going to extend it into that first week in May. The book, The Lord's Prayer, is available to those who write or call or email and simply tell us they would like to have it. So you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we trust that you'll be richly blessed as you study the Lord's Prayer.
Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. My promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Bow down beneath the load of sin, by Satan sorely pressed, by war without and fears within, I come to
today, as we continue our study of Christ, the light in the darkness, we see again that his ministry fulfilled the great prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. And we pay particular attention to the great grace and the wonderful truth involved in the revelation that the Lord Jesus commenced his ministry in Galilee, frequently known as Galilee of the Gentiles, with all its spiritual darkness and need. He truly brings hope to the hopeless. So let's turn to God's Word. Matthew tells us Christ's own words in chapter 9. And in verse 11, when the Pharisees saw that the publicans and sinners came, and he sat down with him and his, they sat down with him and his disciples. When they saw it, they said unto the disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But Jesus heard that, and he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not, or I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He's the hope for the hopeless. The Pharisees would have given up. The publicans and the sinners. There's a big bit of the Pharisee in all of us. How easy it is to give people up to the outer darkness and the hopelessness of hell. That's something Jesus didn't do. He came as the hope to the hopeless. He said, Luke 19 verse 10, that he was come to seek and to save that which was lost. Later on, Paul could say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." He is the hope of the hopeless. And that's why he went to Galilee. That was the message of the light shining in the most distressed and degraded place on earth. And how often that light has penetrated to the degraded depths of humanity. Why, those who pride themselves that they're living in moral and cultural light are actually sinking into ever greater darkness. How many of the moral men are walking the broad road to hell, happy that they're on the clean side of the broad road, while the light is beaming into the dens and dives of iniquity and pulling out poor, lost, wretched, guilty sinners. I think it was the great Russian novelist Dostoevsky who said something to the effect that there is no hopelessness, real hopelessness, except in hell. He referred to Dante's Inferno and said, spoke of the wisdom, the words that Dante imagined over the gates of hell: "Give up hope, all ye who enter here." There is no hope in hell. But you can go to the darkest place on earth. You can go to the deepest sinner on earth. You can go to the most sin-scarred, sin-soiled man or woman that has ever blotted the face of the earth. You can't go to a greater sinner than the chief of sinners. Paul has already identified him. So you can go to any of them and realize that Jesus Christ brings hope to the hopeless. Light to the darkened souls, and life, even eternal life, to those that are sitting in the region and in the shadow of death. The second thing we notice is that the Lord Jesus Christ brings this hope, and it is secure because it is confirmed by the Word of God. When he entered in to Galilee, he was fulfilling the Word of God for a very good reason. There were many false Christs. Even in that day, there was a great messianic fever that was sweeping over the land of Israel. You have evidences of this in the Gospels themselves. False Christs had arisen, and more would arise, and more will arise. Now, how would you know the true from the false? The only way for the true Messiah to enter in is through the door of Old Testament prophecy. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. What is that door? I believe it is preeminently the door of Old Testament prophecy. And that's why later the Lord Jesus said, all that ever came before me, that is all pretended messiahs, all who ever claimed to be the Messiah, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Why? Because they climb up some other way. There is only one way for the true Messiah to come, and that is through the door of Old Testament prophecy. What a prophecy Isaiah gives us in the portion we have already referred to this morning. Here he certainly and clearly marks the door as he speaks of this light shining in great darkness, this deliverer from the shadow of death, and most of all, this one who is wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the eternal one, and the Prince of Peace. God incarnate. That would be a very, very difficult door through which false Messiah to come through. How could you ever manufacture a way of coming through that door? A virgin birth and an incarnation of the Son of God? There's no false Messiah could do that one. So here is a very strict, a very narrow door, a very clearly marked door. That's just one of the many prophecies, not only that Isaiah gives, but that the whole Old Testament gives of the Messiah. It has been estimated that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled no less than 48 distinct Old Testament prophecies. In other words, there were 48 doors, as it were, through which the Messiah had to come. And the Lord Jesus came through them all. Now, this is an age that loves statistics, and it thinks that it can explain away the supernatural by the mere use of statistics. That there's this chance and that chance. Actually, it has been the rationalistic way and the naturalistic way of dealing with Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in Christ, that somehow or other it can be naturally explained that either it was coincidence or it was something that he deliberately manufactured to make it appear that he was fulfilling it. Now, I know little about math, for which I'm eternally grateful. I did enough of it to keep me miserable for 6 years. Well, I mean, must say beyond that, it must have been 14 years, 15 years, 70, I don't know. Too many years anyway. And I know less about statistics. And I really don't have a great desire to know much about them. It seems to me you can prove anything by statistics. But I was reading of a mathematician, Peter W. Stoner, and his point was that it would be statistically impossible for anybody to fulfill all these prophecies. Now, understand what I'm saying. Christ is not proven by statistics. But the naturalistic objections to Christ can be shown to be absolutely crazy by the statistics that they themselves love to invoke. The Stoner worked out that for one man, and this is the only man in all of history of whom it would be true, for one man to fulfill just 8 of the 48, just 8 of them, would be one chance, statistically, in 100 million billion. Now, what does that mean? Well, the example he gives is this. Take the state of Texas. And let the U.S. Mint turn out silver dollars. Go around placing silver dollars until you've covered every square inch of the state of Texas. And then go around again and again and again and again until you've filled every square inch of the state of Texas to a depth of 2 feet with silver dollars. And somewhere in the middle of all that, there is one marked dollar. And let a blind man come, claiming to be God or Messiah, and say, I'm going to prove that by going into the state of Texas, and unerringly, first time, I will go and I will find that $1 out of all those. Statistically, unless he, where would he claim to be? It's impossible. But that's only it. Stoner went on to do a little math, and he said, for anyone to fulfill the 48 would put the statistics at one, and this is an unmentionable number, an absolutely unknowable number, one in a trillion times a trillion, 12 times over. And the only way he can explain that is, if you were to take all the atoms in our universe, multiply that universe by a billion, and multiply that billion universes by a trillion times a trillion times a trillion times a trillion, and in the midst of all those atoms, there's one atom that's marked. Now let your blind man come, claiming to be the Messiah, and saying, in all those millions of billions of trillions of universes with all their multiplied trillions of atoms, I will go and I will put my finger immediately, unerringly, on the first one, on the proper one. Statistically, it's crazy. As I say, that doesn't prove a thing about Christ. Because Christ is not just a statistical probability or an historical probability. Christ is the absolute eternal truth of God incarnate. But again, what I'm saying is, when people try to explain away the fact that Jesus entered through the door of prophecy, and they try to explain it away in some naturalistic fashion, they are actually invoking something that is so beyond the ordinary, something so unimaginable as to make believing in miracles done by the hand of God simplicity itself. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.